Welcome to the EU Startups Podcast. Sit back and enjoy the show hosted by Marcin Lewandowski.
Hey everyone, this is Marcin Lewandowski and you're listening to the EU Startups Podcast. Today on the show we have Erika DeSanti, co-founder and chief experience officer at WeRoad, the travel company that's all about turning strangers into lifelong friends through unforgettable group adventures. Now she's taking that mission to the streets with WeMeet, a new app helping people build real-life friendships right in their own cities. Erika, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show. Welcome.
Likewise. Thanks for having me, Martin.
Amazing. Erika, if someone's never heard of WeRoad, what's a real story you tell them at a dinner party?
Well, actually, what we do, you've already kind of told, right? We organize group travel experiences yes. for people aged between 25 and 49 years old. But that's a boring bit, I would say. If I were at a dinner party, what I say is that with WeRoad, what we do is fighting loneliness. And it's a way that you basically have to meet interesting people that love doing what you do, which is basically traveling, right? So this passion unites people, and also it's a way to somehow select people that are like-minded and they are passionate about what you also are. And I think the people that love traveling and meet new cultures are of a different vibe, right? So I think we put this bunch of amazing individuals together. And also, I think another thing that I would say at a dinner party after one drink, maybe, is that at the end of the day, what happens in our trips, but also experiences, like as you said, daily experiences that we can provide, is more or less the feeling of freedom that you had probably last time during high school in the school trip, you know. So where you detach yourself from the daily life, you encounter new people, but at the same time you have no burdens, no anything, no thoughts. You can just be you. You know, and that feeling is insane. I always look for it, you know.
yeah, I totally agree, 100% feel it. Erika, you know, you've said WeRoad isn't just about destinations, it's about connection, right? So what are people actually searching for when they book a trip?
Well, actually, I think that our generation, I'm talking about millennials and Gen Zers, that's basically our target, look for authenticity in the destination and the experience. So the more, I would say, traditional part of the trip. But at the same time, the need for relationship and flexibility is so fundamental in the design of the experience that it can't but be considered, right? So when we design a trip or when we design an experience, like literally around the corner, what we think is like empowering the individuals taking care to this experience to personalize it a bit in a way, right? So, and making unique also, because if you think about what we do is group experiences. So if you design a trip without taking into consideration group dynamics, group bonding, team building, ice breaking, it could lead to disaster, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think that one of the major fears that people traveling in group have, rather than the destination, and obviously what to pack, is who am I going to meet, right? So it could be the most thrilling part, but the most threatening one. And so, you know, finding a way to intertwine within the design of the experience, group dynamics, I think it's a killer in our business and what makes us unique out there.
I love it. I love it. So we road trips, you know, create instant community with total strangers. And you already mentioned that the bonding part. What's the secret to engineering bonding at scale?
Well, actually, I think that, for example, in the design of the experience, what we saw as being fundamental is the role of the travel coordinator, which is not a guide, but it's the best travel buddy one could wish for. What we do is selecting and onboarding people that are passionate about travel. So they basically share the same need of connection and exploring the world, but they don't want to do it as a job. So it's not their major job. We have travel coordinators that are doctors, entrepreneurs, content creator, photographers. I mean, the most varied and diverse background out there. And they basically invest their free time in leading our trips. And they put themselves in the trip, right? So their experience, their passion, their desire to discover that destination. So that was also something counterintuitive that we did at the beginning. So we had travel coordinators never been to a destination before leading a trip to that destination. And that was perfect because imagine like, you know, going to Peru, flying to Peru and being taken back and forth in the country by a person that does it every day, every night. I mean, they lead you to the Machu Picchu. They say without looking at the Machu Picchu, that is the Machu Picchu. Whereas if you have a person with you, that's a doctor in his life and Peru, Machu Picchu was the dream. They live the experience with you. They get emotional once they get there, as you do, right? And also, if there are troubles and things, they try to make the experience a cool one because they are the first people interested in making it unique and life-changing, you know? So I think that first, this one was the first, I would say, ingredient towards, let's say, the creating connection while on a trip. And the other one was the design of the experience itself. So I give you a very, very specific example that I always try to do to make people understand what is ice breaking in reality. Imagine a group of strangers meeting in always take the Peru example, in Lima for the first day, right? And if you put like 15 people that don't know each other in a big city mass with a loads of different options of things to do, you know, it becomes socially complex, right? Because you don't know people, but you would love to see this and the other person you don't even know, they want to go there. And it's like, it creates this situation where you stop and go, what do we do? Am I a little bit too, you know, picky to do it in the first day, etc. So what we try to do is like start from the beginning with long transfers, tough experiences, like very intense, but where the group needs to stay together and bond and get to know each other. So yes, we landing in Lima, just welcome dinner to meet each other, toast, and then 6-hour transfer to the first adventure, right? And in this 6-hour transfer, you have the chance to sit next to a stranger, talk to each other, understand who you are, what you do, and use this opportunity to get to know each other and break the ice. And I think this is something that we put in every trip, moments like this, understanding at which stage of connection and knowledge the people are in during the experience to make it a unique one, because we can't control anything everything apart from the group alchemy, but there are, you know, some things that we can do to make better matches happen.
Sounds awesome, Marika. And it's also nice to have a personal doctor when you go on a trip, so I guess like this
well
trip,
yes
right. Let's
always
rewind. Yeah, exactly right. Let's rewind to the early days, maybe. I wanted to ask you, because you gave this nice example of how it works, I want to ask you, what was the craziest thing you did to get the first 100 travelers on the road?
Well, I would say everything. No, just jokes apart, but still, I think that for every business, it's not just, I would say, our business. Friends and family are the first to be onboarded in your ventures, right? So you become suddenly that annoying person in you know, social meetups, saying and trying to convince people to do things for you. And so I also have pictures of the first trip of Paolo being the travel coordinators with loads of you know, friends and friends of a friend and the business partner. So to try and have the, you know, the ball rolling in a way in the very early days. And this is like, I would say, like from a travel perspective, when it comes to business bootstrapping, I always love like growth hacking initiatives, right? So at the time, what you do is create fake profiles, try and convince people in competitors, you know, socials to jump on board on yours, like all the dirty growth hacking techniques you can think of, and try many different roads, and some of them became actually our major channel of acquisition. So we saw that a competitor wasn't using in Italy this Facebook groups, but people started talking about, you know, self-organizing group travel experiences on Facebook. We saw a big opportunity there to try and master that channel and do it for our trips. So we created a Facebook group and we tried that was called Solo Travelers Unite or something like that in Italian, obviously, because Italian was our first source market. And we gathered people in this channel. And from that, we built onto the first trips. So these are all things that you normally do, you know, when launching a new company.
Nice, Erica. So you already mentioned like the design of it and how it works, that you have this, trip leaders. Because, you know, behind every great trip is a great trip leader, right? And you mentioned the example of the doctor. What actually makes an unforgettable WeRoad coordinator? How do you choose these
people? Well, actually, yes, it's incredible. I mean, I've met incredible people in 8 years of WeRoad community life, let's say. But what I see as being fundamental is obviously wanting to share the experience with others, because you have, I think, thousands of great tour guides out there or thousands of great travelers that have the best traveling skills, but they are solo travelers, you know. So maybe they've visited 90 plus countries in the world, they've backpacked across Southeast Asia. So you can say, okay, this person has managed all the most difficult situations in the world. He could be or she perfect for the job, but they're solo travelers. So they just mainly think about, let's say, and they mainly enjoy the solo traveler perspective. So I think that for us, what worked best was these kind of people, but they also want the social connection bit. They need to be empathetic. They need to have that charisma of a team leader, right? And obviously problem solver, because we know that shit happens all the time in trips and especially around the world. So they need to be able to manage all the toughest situations. And what we saw also as being fundamental, they need to be team builders in a way, right? So they basically are the guarantor of the group dynamics, of the group bonding. And this has always been fundamental. Then I think what also differentiates us from anybody else is that we also have local tour guides. So it's not that the tour guides disappear, but our travel coordinator create the connection also with the local culture. Because otherwise what happens normally in group travel experiences is that people traveling in groups remain on their surface, right? I wouldn't say experience, but they see things, but they don't go deeper. And so I think that thanks to the job of the travel coordinator, you literally can deep dive into what actually makes a country a unique one. So these are a few of the skills and approach that our travel coordinators need to have.
Erica,
definitely.
What was the biggest lesson you've learned about human nature from building WeRoad?
Well, actually, I think the biggest lesson is that related to being able with WeRoad community and our experiences to fight loneliness of our generation. At the beginning, I thought it was mainly a facilitator for new connections, but actually, like growing up as a business and as a community and also as a society, I realized this was literally a massive society problem, right? And that our community was answering to this need. And also what I see is that people in our generation are not only lonely, but progressively more and more detached from reality. So there's this like a dualism, I would say, in the trends that I see in society right now, the one towards hyper-technological, AI-driven world where our whole role as humans is put under discussion. And the other one, the desperate need of in real-life connections, because otherwise what happens is that we are totally detached. So I think we're an healthy way to counterbalance these this moment that we are experiencing as a society. And that was the biggest learning that I had, let's say, in this year. And the sentence, it's not about the destination, but the people you meet along the way. It's definitely true, right? So so that's basically it at scale.
Okay, I like it. I like it a lot, Erica. Before we move to WeMeet, I wanted to ask you, because I'm really curious, you've had probably many of those over years. What's the weirdest or like most unexpected weirdo trip moment that became a legend?
Well, as you said, loads. but to mention maybe a few of them, it happened that always Peru. I don't know why it comes to my mind. In Peru, like there was because I love Peru. That's
nice.
We had a moment where there were unfortunately loads of strikes in the country, and it was very bad when it comes obviously to people in Peru. But it happened that we had groups stuck in Machu Picchu, not being able to come back because there were no services to come back. So we had like incredible, stories getting out of that experience because people would start trekking their way back to Aguascalientes, where normally the train runs, and they did like more than 20 kilometers in the middle of nature, and that was insane. Or I think another moment that I would remember forever.
That must have been bonding, you know, like walking together.
Bonding and also mesmerizing in a way, right? Because you're in the middle of nowhere with like a nature that is like incredible around you, and scenery is, but also tough because it's a never-ending road, right? In the middle of nowhere, and you don't know what happens, you know? So adventure, risk, and uniqueness and connection.
100%.
The perfect mix. And then the other thing that I always remember is like when the pandemic hit. So I'm not talking about the pandemic because long time. But what happened was that at a certain point we had to repatriate, you know, all our rerouters, and it was a moment where we had people spread across Europe, and seems as if like we had, you know, like on a mission to have them back. And we thought about the most creative way of having people, you know, taking a boat to cross the Mediterranean border, and then jumping to a wagon, and then negotiating for flights. So it was like literally being in, you know, worldwide control room, and like creatively thinking about ways to have people come back. So it were hectic days, but I would remember them forever, and not in a negative way, right? But as being extremely intense but rewarding when people came actually back, maybe after, you know, 5 days of incredible journeys across Europe and the world, because we had literally people spread across the globe.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Crazy. Erica, now you've launched WeMeet, a platform to help people build, you know, in real life friendships closer to home. Why was this the natural next step for WeRoad?
Well, actually, I think that the intuition comes from the early days, because what we saw happening, and I still remember like the first, you know, investor decks and presentation you send off your business to external stakeholders. We always put pictures of people gathering after their trips, right? But we had thousands, literally, of these sort of gatherings since the very early days, because basically what happened was that we focused very much on the source market and to create an impact on the source market. So we brought Italians abroad with Italians, Spaniards with Spaniards abroad, et cetera, et cetera. So what happened was that we created community in their source markets, in the countries where our WeRoaders live. And since the very early days, but afterwards we started, you know, building awareness a lot with the local events. So we didn't do massive campaigns that the travel sector normally does, full stop, right? Showcasing the destination, full stop. But what we did was investing in creating connections and replicate similar situations that you have on the other side of the world in our hometowns, right? Mm. So just last year, we had more than 50,000 people attending our awareness events, I would say, across Europe. And so we said, okay, look, what happened actually was that these people started feeling a part of a local WeRoaders community. So why don't we push even farther this concept so that WeRoad is not just something that you live and breathe one or two times a year if you travel more often, let's say, but literally in your daily lives. Obviously, the travel coordinate, the 3,000 travel coordinators that we have spread across the globe, let's say, facilitate this because they feel they are part of the community and they have a job, and so they live and breathe what they do in their free time in their daily lives. But in this way, with WeMeet, which at the end of the day is also an app, so that very, very handy, we organize meetups in the cities where our WeRoaders are. So they could spend literally from drinks, talking about your favorite book and exchanging it, to running clubs, social dinners, or yoga moments followed by beer drinks together. And maybe this could turn into a trip on the other side of the world. So, for example, so imagine you're, and this is happens all the day, every day, every moment right now in our community. So you have the yoga teacher, which is also a serial WeRoader that did several WeRoads in a row, and then that has already booked a trip to Bali to do a yoga retreat there. So imagine she's organizing these yoga classes followed by a social moment that could be a brunch or drinks, and she reunites people that love doing that, and they might turn, or they're already WeRoaders traveling to Indonesia in Ubud for the next yoga retreat moment, right? So that's the kind of vibes that we are trying to replicate.
Amazing. I love this. I love the mission behind this, Erica, especially, you know, when loneliness is a growing issue, especially in cities. Having WeMeet creating a real lasting community, it's an amazing thing to have. You know, as WeRoad and WeMeet, expand globally, like WeMeet locally, WeRoad globally, so you build this local roots with WeMeet. How has this shifted or deepened your personal mission, and what keeps you dreaming?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that what I realized is that with the WeRoad and our community, we have a massive social responsibility in a way, because at the end of the day, what we're doing with our trips, imagine like we had like more than 2,000 passengers over the last 8 years. So we basically are training the new generations how to travel in a conscious way that is also, you know, focused on getting to know new cultures, new people, etc. So it's a responsibility also to, you know, have the values very clear and have everybody stick to our values or not being suitable for us, and fighting loneliness at the same time. So this has, rather than shifted, has deepened out my reason why, let's say, which is, I mean, our vision is that of connecting people, cultures, and stories since day one. So I think that 8 years down the road, I can say that I'm more and more convinced about that. And I'm more and more convinced that the social impact of, also, if you think about ESG, is what we can deliver more than anybody else out there. And the other question was, what keeps me dreaming, right? Basically, I think that this social impact that we have is sometimes mind-blowing, because you can't even imagine how many connections, serendipity moments we can generate in our community. So if you think about the butterfly effect, right, you know, that you can ignite with our brand, it's insane. So there are businesses that do services, products, etc. But literally what we do is changing people's life, obviously for good, hopefully. So, but this always keeps me dreaming and dreamy about what we do.
Amazing. I love it, Erica. So this is a time of the podcast where I usually play a game with my guests. It's kind of a rapid fire questions, like quick questions, quick answers. Are you up for it?
Okay, so I don't need to be Italian and speak too much. Okay.
You can also it doesn't have to be don't limit yourself, but
perfect. I'll go for it.
All right, let's do it. Erica, so here we go. One trip you take again tomorrow, no questions asked.
Peru, but you probably already guessed that.
Yeah. I'll figure the answer by now. Yeah. So awesome.
Second, Vietnam. So you can pick.
Nice, amazing. What's the most Erica think about We Road trip?
I think the end of the day beer together with the group.
Nice, I love it.
Sitting around after the trip during the day, like the chill moment to socialize at the end of the day. That's my moment.
That's super cool. I like this. One piece of travel wisdom that's actually total bullshit.
Well, I think that in order to find out everything about a culture, you need to tick all the boxes of the must-see. I think that's the bullshit, because at the end of the day, what you remember forever are the unexpected events that happen during a trip, and also how you get in contact with the local cultures in those unforeseen situations, like the ones that we were talking about before. Yeah. You're going to remember that and not the touristy highlight, for sure.
100%. I love it. What's one thing about Italy that every traveler underestimates?
Okay, so I put myself in the shoes of an international traveler, and I think the variety that you can get in Italy, it's insane. And right now that we also work globally, I can say that the approach is I see Rome, Florence, Venice in one tour, and that's done. But I think that it's just the tip of the iceberg, right? Because every single country, a region in Italy, and every single city has its own peculiar food, the peculiar dynamics, and their teeny tiny jewels that it's mind-blowing. So I think that's something that is always underestimated, especially by international travelers.
Yeah, so the tip would be just go off the road a bit, explore places.
Off the beaten track.
Yeah,
and take a little bit of time more, because it's well invested. So again, not the must-see situation. And I mean, we're millennials. We want to, tick all the boxes. That's, what happens with us. So try to chill. That's my suggestion. Chill. Don't think about the boxes. Don't think about the plan. Just go with the flow.
Exactly. So dolce far niente. So don't go to Milan.
Or maybe go to Milan because nobody else wants to go.
Exactly. And do dolce far niente there.
Yes. And do dolce far niente here.
Erica, most underrated travel destination on your map right now?
So I would say Kyrgyzstan. We're seeing it appearing on our, radar, but I think that the first trips that we had there made us understand the unique potential that it has, and especially the fact that it's not touristy, not on the beaten track, and so you can still get that explorer, real explorer, adventure, oh my God, I'm the only one here kind of feeling that you can't get anywhere or probably else in the world right now because of globalization, but still. So I think that's to take into consideration and under control.
Nice. And how about you? What was the next destination you would like to go to personally?
Oh, well, two very different from each other. One is Colombia. That I would love to go to, and the other one is Norway. So just to the opposite.
Nice.
So let's see.
Erica, best hack for packing for a trip. But looking at me, it would be like just take a sunscreen, I guess. what else you've got?
Backpack and pack less than you plan. So plan the things you need to bring with you and then cut them by half, because I think that at the end of the day, the lighter you are, the more agile you are, and less focused on what you bring with you, but on the experience itself.
True, right? Like half empty.
It's an
backpack.
Exercise, huh?
Yeah.
And you start with loads of liters and then.
yeah, exactly. Nice. I like that one. Another one, which is a hack. Best hack for making friends fast on the road.
I would suggest to be Italian as you can be.
So normally,
yes, I think that we have it in our DNA, the ice-breaking kind of vibes. So also for anybody, just think about an Italian and what an Italian would do in a socially awkward situation and do it. Because at the end of the day, we are very energetic, curious, warm, welcoming, generous. And so I think that's the basic tool to create connections.
Nice. Be Italian, guys. Be Italian. Now, the last one. Finish the sentence. The future of global experience is...
I would say real life meaningful connections. So creating meaningful connections in real life, that's the future of experiences.
Nice. I love it. Erica, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to have you on the show. So much fun. I really love the conversation. People love it as well. I can't wait for it to be out. Thanks so much. And I hope to see you in person someday.
Thanks so much, Martin.
Somewhere in the world. Like in Barcelona, Milan, or somewhere entirely else. Maybe India. You haven't been, I've heard.
Yes.
I would be happy to be your tour guide for India.
Well, that would be amazing. Noted. So you'll be my travel coordinator.
Yes, exactly. Awesome. Erica, thanks so much and have a lovely day.
Thanks so much, Martin.